Hi, welcome to On the Daily, a podcast about finding the acoustic you. I'm your host, Danielle McCleary. I am a serial optimist and a champion of people who has long been on a search to truly see people and help you peel back all of your layers and become the most acoustic, authentic, and best version of yourself. I'm so glad you're here. Let's dive in. Hi, everybody. Welcome to the show. I'm really excited that you're here. We are in March, which is crazy because where has 2021 gone? It feels like it's already been a year all on its own. If you are just joining us, last week's episode was with my friend Angela Manuel Davis. She is a master trainer. She is a Nike athlete. She's a mom. She is a motivational speaker. She is a business entrepreneur, brilliant business entrepreneur, and just like an overall amazing human. And our conversation was incredible. So if you are just joining the podcast, go back and listen to those, that episode, as well as, you know, the last couple of months of episodes we got. The episode we have today, this is a friend of mine. Her name is Ariella Storia. She is a poet. She is a writer. She is an author. She is a spoken word creative. She is a content creator. She's a model. She does some acting. She is one of the most well-rounded humans ever. And I have known her for a few years now. I was first introduced to Ariel through her spoken word poetry, which is from the heart and it's vulnerable and it's real and it's raw and it is so acoustic and authentic. And so when we talk about this podcast being about finding the acoustic you, I know I say this about a lot of my guests, but I think that Ariel embodies it in her work, in her everyday life, in the way that she partners with the brands she partners with. And it's always genuine. I think that you will really, really love this episode, especially if you are a person who is going through or has gone through seasons where you feel like what's on your heart feels crazy and you don't quite know how to get from A to B, but you have, you know, the desire and the fire in your heart. I think that this will really speak to you. So I'm really excited for you to hear this episode. Let's do it. Okay, I want to take a little break to tell you about something that I think you might be interested in. I am a SoulCycle instructor, as you know, and SoulCycle launched an at-home bike through Varus, which is an online fitness platform that has things from boxing with Rumble. We have Equinox on there with some HIIT training. There's Headstrong for meditation. There's Pure Yoga and SoulCycle. We have a bike that you can put in your home that has a screen attached to it. And if that sounds like something that is up your alley, I highly recommend this bike. Obviously, I am super biased because I am an instructor. But if you are interested, I have a discount code for you. It's for $250 off the bike. And you can find that discount code as a link in our show notes of this episode, as well as all of the information about the discount itself. But if you have been wanting to plunge into the world of at-home indoor cycling, this is a good one. I think I'm biased, but I can't say enough about it, and I think you're going to love it. So go click the link, see what it's all about, and let's get into this episode. Oh my gosh, this girl, I'm so excited right now. First of all, I adore you. Hi.
Thank you.
Welcome.
I adore you. Thanks for having
me. How are you? Oh my gosh, are you kidding? Thank you for coming on. Your busy schedule is like, I just appreciate you.
Honored. Yeah, no, I'm excited to be here. I love chatting with people I actually know on podcasts. So that's always like a great attribute.
Oh, 100%. I know whenever I've been asked to do anything that I don't know them, I'm like, okay, let's see how this goes.
Right. You're like, fingers crossed, this is awful.
Hope you're ready for me. Okay, so before which you'll love this because we are both Lululemon people. Mm-hmm. Before every episode, I like to do a clearing. So just anything. You know, you need to clear before we go, and I'll clear something and we'll just kind of get present.
I love that.
I'm working with this idea of like my dog is like sick in the other room and like we're trying to figure out what's going on with her. Her body on the right side is like kind of paralyzed right now. So like I had an acupuncturist come last night. So she's in the other room. Like I'm in here and I'm like, we'll just see how it goes today, you know?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm like, I think for me, I'm in the process of trying to figure out what branding, like branding and also rebranding, like everything I've done, I've kind of just done on my own, and I'm ready for like an actual designer to work with me. And so I've met with like three and I keep going back and forth. And so I think I'm trying to clear just not having clarity and finding like very clear intentions with like who and how do I want to be visually represented. It's like a weighty thing. So I feel like I've been weeks back and forth on just different designers and just trusting. Yeah, learning to trust my gut a little bit more in that process.
Well, and I'm sure it's hard because like you have done it all yourself. Like, I mean, I've known you for a while now and like you've always just like been like the one man band essentially. And like, I'm sure inviting somebody else into your creative space in such a personal way is very stressful.
It is. It's like, who's going to, I mean, outside of yourself, like who's going to represent? Yeah, who's going to represent me well? And that is a, for, you know, a conversation that's pretty public. I'm like, I want to do this well, you know, and I want to do this intentionally. So we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. For everybody who's listening, I don't even know how long I've known you. It's been years at this point. And for a long time, it was like, we knew each other through other people. And like, we had like been connected through like others. And then all of a sudden we met. And I just remember the first time I ever heard you. And it was at a coffee shop in Azusa.
Oh yeah. Mantra, right?
It was at Mantra. Yeah. Yep. You were doing like, you did like an open like mic night thing. Yeah. And it was just, I came with Breezy and we were just like staring. And I was just like, I don't know who this girl is. But like, it was weird because it was one of those situations where like, I did know who you were because I had heard, but like, I didn't put the pieces together. And then I was like, oh, this is her. She is this. This is, I'm, okay, this is amazing. I'm like,
the connections. Words, yeah.
Yes. I mean, your words and your voice. And like, for anybody out there that doesn't know my friend Arielle Astoria, like, your words and your voice and the way that you just share yourself so vulnerably, and you've always done that, and like you've grown through seasons of your life and you've just stayed so authentically, amazingly you. I mean, like just the first time I heard you speak on like, I like downloaded something you had done and then I heard you like in person and it was just, you're incredible. And I think that you embody everything about this podcast. So I'm excited to get to know you a little bit.
Thank you. In this way. Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So tell me about like, what are you up to right now? Like, I know you said you're rebranding. I want to like go all the way back and like, talk about the journey, but like, where's Arielle right now in this moment? Like, how are you? What are you doing? What are you up to?
Yeah. Each day is so different per usual. I mean, I'm working from home, which has always been the case. Like I've always worked from home. Now everyone else is also, you know, working from home in different senses. And so I'm just trying to adjust fully into that, like, and find my rhythms. And I run my own social media. I run a social media for a nonprofit, which I'm actually transitioning out of this month and really excited to clear that space. And this year's mostly about writing my book. I have like my first non-self-published book. So I'm underneath a publisher now, which is like really exciting and nerve-wracking all at once. And so I'm starting that process. I just sent my outline about like a week ago. So now I'm just like waiting for feedback and commentary and we'll see how that goes. And so, yeah, those are my focal points, is just getting my book written this year and then also making money through storytelling, either that's with brands or with poetry or virtual events that are a big thing now. And yeah, but each day looks different. It could be a casting, could be submitting, you know, a video in for a conference. It could be doing a podcast like this or working on meetings or things like that with people. And so, yeah, it's a very full season. It definitely is not without right now. It's a very full season in a lot of different ways, which has been exciting, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, in that, it's like you've come so far, I think. I mean, just watching, like, you used to be like a poet, and that's how I knew you. And now you're a like you're an author and you're a speaker and you model for Lululemon and you're doing all this amazing like body positivity stuff. Like, and now you're writing a book and you have a publisher. Like, what's that journey been like? I mean, what was it like? What was the moment in your life? Remember, you know, being like, I'm going to use my voice. Like, where did that start? How far back?
I mean, it kind of, it started as a kid. Like my desires as a kid was like, I'm going to be a teacher. And I was like, no, I'm going to be a movie star. Then it was like, no, I'm going to be a barista. Like I had all these desires as a kid, but it always involved working and being with people. And it always involved speaking to some extent. And I didn't really know the fullness of it. And then I got older. I went to an arts high school and I tapped into the art world. And I feel like that just burst open a part of me where it was like, this has always been there, but I didn't know. And so then from there, I mean, I went to school to study psychology and theater, thinking that I could interlace the practical and the not practical, you know, but I didn't want to pursue acting full on. I was like, I don't need to be on stage. Like that doesn't really feel like the right route. And so eventually I dropped my theater and kept going with psychology. But then the more I was involved with things in college, the more it still was art focused and art concentrated, and it just kept finding me, if you will. And I kept being like, no, this is not it. You know, like this is not the practical thing. And then I graduated and I was like, oh, I don't have a plan, you know, like all my plans left. So what do I do now? And I was like, what if I just take the next year and I'd be a creative? And I had no idea what that meant. I had no idea what that looked like, but it was like, let's just take the next year. And now it's been six, you know, I've been full-time freelance since I graduated and I would not trade any of it for anything. It's been a journey, to say the least, of working six jobs to working four jobs to now I'm like, this is the first year I'm down to just two, just what I do for myself. And then like one other brand that I work with. And that has been, now I'm releasing that and it's just me. And it's so terrifying, but it took me 6 years to like fully get there, even though I've been freelance and for the past 6 years. So it has been a journey, to say the least. It has been constant upheaval of knowing myself and trusting what I'm doing to what are you doing, move back home, get a real job, just that on loop and on repeat for sure. Yeah.
So, I mean, what was that like? Did you grow up in a family where they were like, do whatever you want, like let the wind take you, or like were there expectations, you know? Like I think that there's a really bold move when you decide like I'm going to do this for me, and like I don't know where it's going to go and I don't know, but like you obviously, I mean, if for anybody that's heard your poetry, like it is so raw, right? Like you speak from your heart. It's your personal experiences that other people can relate to. But like, I mean, how was that? Just like growing up and like having so much to say, like what did you go through to like be able to like put it to paper and then decide like, I'm going to just do this? Because that's scary. That's scary for a lot of people.
Terrifying. It never stops being terrifying. I mean, I grew up with parents in ministry. So it was half the chase the wind, pursue calling, you know, over career. It was a lot of that. Like we were always around that. But then we all decided to go, me and my siblings, I'm the oldest of five. We all decided for the most part, well, except for my brother, he's 15. So not him yet for college, but all of the girls. We went to college, we did the things, we got degrees, you know, and we kind of went to our perspective spaces after. But I graduated and was like, psych, mom and dad, like, I'm going to be a poet, you know? And at first they were like, so supportive, so like, okay. And then, you know, when I couldn't pay my bills, when I had to ask for help, you know, my dad was like, what are you doing? Like, you're smart. You have a degree. Like, why are you purposely doing this to yourself? And I was like, I feel crazy 99.9% of the time because I don't know what I'm working towards. I just know I'm supposed to work towards it. And that was all I knew. That was just all the motivation I had. So when I was doing well, though, then my dad really liked being my dadager and tried to get me gigs and things like that. So it was kind of like them being as parents who are like, go and chase and pursue. But also, are you eating? You know, like, can you put gas in your car? Can you pay rent? And so it was like a valid balance of emotions there, but it was half like pursue the calling, but then also take care of yourself and, you know, their desire for me and for us to be able to take care of ourselves. And I just decided to be the one, you know, who wasn't in a consistent job, who was pursuing the creative things, who was doing all these crazy things to make ends meet. And they were kind of like, I don't think it was expected of me, like as the oldest, the usually responsible, the set the example. And I was just like this wild card for a really, really long time. And so they were kind of like, we don't know what to do with you. We love you. We support you. Are you eating? Have you paid your bills? You know, do you have money in your account? So it was kind of that balance for sure. Yeah.
It's so funny that you say that because I kind of have the similar situation. My dad was like a finance guy, like my whole life, like chief financial officer, like grew up like business, right? My mom was a stay-at-home mom. They were separated when I was like two. And my dad, like I always was like the one who danced to the beat of my own drum. Like my family was like, well, Danielle's going to do what Danielle's going to do. But then when Danielle actually did what Danielle wanted to do, they were like, okay, like, okay, but
how do we do, what do we do with this here?
Yeah, like I went to like a great school. I studied theater and dance. Of course, my dad was like, go into business. And I was like, okay. So like I went into business. And after one semester, I was like, I'm not going into business. That is not happening. And then like,
not it for me.
Right. I like moved to England for 4 years, like left school. My family was like, okay, but like also you got like really good grades. Like you were an IB student. You were an AP student. Like
wow.
What? So like, I totally relate to you saying like, but like there's this, and maybe you can speak to this a little bit because there's like this, when you know that, like, I didn't always know how, I didn't always know the how. I was like, I just know that I know that I need to pursue my heart. And I know that I need to pursue the fact that, like, I think I'm here to motivate people. I think I'm here to inspire people. And I don't know what that looks like, but I'm just going to keep chasing that.
Yeah.
Like, what's that feeling like? Because I'm sure, like, I mean, myself included, like, we all go through those moments where we go, oh God, should I just like, gosh, should I just go back to school? Like, should I just like do what I was going to do? Like, should I just go on a path of normal? So, like, speak to that a little bit.
I mean, you feel insane all the time. Like I said, I would call myself a human tornado. Like, I felt like I was like, I was over here one moment, then I was over here doing this. And it was like, none of it. In retrospect, like none of it directly made sense, right? Like none of it felt like it was consistent. I felt all over the place. And I, being a left and a right brain just operator and orchestrator, I like having consistency. I like having strategy. I like having structure. And there was none of that. So I just felt haphazard all the time. I felt crazy because I didn't directly know what I was working towards. You just like, I don't know. I just am, I know I'm supposed to keep running and I don't know where the end goal is, what the end goal is, if there is even an end goal, if there's a finish line, is there's a crossing over, if I don't know any of that. I just know this is all I'm made to do right now. And that's the only thing I can trust, you know? And I did, you know, I was like, I don't know why I'm working six jobs. I don't know why I'm living with a family and their five kids just so I can pay $300 for rent. Like, I don't, I just know that I'm supposed to do this and find ways to keep showing up, to keep making art, to keep putting myself on stages, to keep being in environments where people are seen and heard and known. That's all I know how to do. And I don't know how long that will last. Even now, I'm like, I love what I do. But at any point in time, you know, I feel like I transition out and become a theater teacher. I'm all for it. Like I'm not married to any of these things that I'm doing. And yet I'm so intentional and stewarding what I do have right now. And because that's all we do have is this moment, you know, and these moments. And so in these moments, I'm made to do this and I will pursue that wholeheartedly.
I love that so much because I think so many people struggle with that. I think so many people go through these moments in their life where they're like, I know that I want to do this, but I don't know how, and it's not working out right now the way that I envision it. And so I'm just going to stop because like the fear takes over. right? And it is a sense of like, you haven't been unafraid. Like, you and I have had conversations about this. Like, the fear of like pursuing your heart is real, but it's like about feeling that and doing it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because ultimately the other end is that you have the fear, you have the anxiety, and you never do. You know, like Brené Brown and Elizabeth Gilbert talk about that creative rut where they have encounters with 50, 60-year-old people who are like, well, I was told at this age that I couldn't do it or that my art wasn't good, so I haven't picked up a paintbrush since, and I regret every year I haven't picked it up. You know, like, what is the risk? Is there more of a risk not pursuing it because it's terrifying? Or is the other end of it more risky because you never did? And I just don't want to say I never did. You know, like, I don't want to have to get to the end of my life and be like, I wonder what that could have been like. Like, no, I know what it could have been like. And it either worked or it didn't work, you know? And we kind of alleviate that fear and reframe what failure is in the first place, you know? And yeah, I think I just got to the point where I was like, I don't want to say, well, what if? I want to know what could happen or could not happen.
Well, yeah. And it's brought so many amazing things into your life. I mean, look at like your totally. Marriage, right? Like, that kind of came out of nowhere for you, didn't it?
It did. I mean, full on nowhere. Like, I talk about it all the time. The week before John and I like officially kind of like met, I had just done like a talk at a university about singleness. Like, I was like in it, like fully in it. And I like know now backstory, like he shows his mom that video and she's like, this is who you're trying to pursue. Like, she looks fine and dandy, you know, like by herself. But it literally was like, I just gotten to the point where I'm like, okay, I'm single. I'm embracing this. I was flying all over the place, like living. I was living at that point. And then I met him and I was like, man, seriously, I just got to the point where I was good with myself. And here he comes to just mess shit up. But no.
I mean, your relationship is really beautiful. It's been really fun, like watching your love story grow. And like, obviously, like getting married during COVID is like a whole other
whole thing. Mm-hmm.
But you guys, you did it. And like, I think, but I think about like your story and like how you have always just kind of like gone with your heart. Like, Breezy and I were talking about it actually. Like, when you guys got engaged, I was like, do you think they're going to do a wedding like in COVID or do you think they'll wait? And you're like sitting there, I was like, I think she's going to do it. Like, I don't think she's going to wait. I think that like that would be so not Ariel. Like, Ariel has to do it. And so it was like, we were kind of betting on it. And then when you did, I was like, told you.
We did. And I have no, like, it was perfect. Like, it was more than we could have ever imagined. We were like, we kept being like, well, what about next year? What about next year? Now we're in next year, which is so crazy to think about. And I'm so glad we didn't wait. You know, like, I just, for both of us, like, we want our life to begin. Like, we don't want it to just be on this constant hold. And so we had our families there, and that was the most important thing for us, and got married at a park and hope that nobody pulled us over. Like, that was, and it was perfect. It was perfect. Yeah. It was.
I mean, the pictures were beautiful. You guys, if you don't, I mean, obviously, I mean, we're going to plug all of your channels, but if you guys don't follow her, you have to and like scroll back and go and look at the wedding. Cause it was lovely. It was so, so beautiful. Yeah, I'm just really happy for you. I think like it's been fun being like a fan, but also a friend of yours because I've watched the journey and I've watched like your work evolve. I mean, gosh, like thinking about like back when you used to, some of the poetry that I used to play like your songs, like your spoken word for my stretch at SoulCycle. Like, I would just play, yes. You talking about like, I even forget which one it was now, but there was one that I played all the time and it was just like, you are enough. And it was just such a beautiful spoken word.
This
and
is for you.
Yes, it was. It was, this is for you. Yeah. And I played it all the time. Yeah. And then I think about just how your work's evolved in like 2020. Obviously was like a whole year of like a whole decade. It felt like, you know, so what was that like? I kind of want you to speak to, cause obviously this podcast is all about like finding the acoustic you. And I think you've always done that very well. Like, you are one of the most acoustic people I know, but I mean, you're a poet, like you speak from the heart, right? So what was 2020 like in the world of someone like you who has always been so open and authentic. And obviously, like with like Black Lives Matter and everything that happened, like how did you grow? How'd you evolve in 2020 with all of that?
Yeah, I feel like if I were to narrow it down to one word, 2020 was very raw. It was a very raw year. It was raw in a sense of it just everything was exposed from the systems in which, you know, Black Lives Matter tries to uproot from our society. It was very raw in a sense of grieving, in a sense of loss in very in different capacities. It was just a very raw year. I think I've always been an observant person, but I think I became even more so of an observant and introspective person in 2020 because it required a lot of like sitting and listening. And I mean like sitting and listening to plants, sitting and listening while outside in nature, sitting and listening and just less doing. I came off of a year of like traveling all year. John and I talk about this all the time because the first year we dated, I was like gone for most of it. So we met and I was gone 2 weeks later. And then we came back and I had a date and then I was gone for another week. Like it was just always gone. So there was this slowing that happening that was so abrupt and disorienting and yet so necessary. So I wrote a lot of plant poems. I've been having lots of plant conversations because my plants have just taught me so much about care, about intention, about like we don't see them actively bursting a leaf, yet they're constantly growing and yet assumingly still. Yeah, it was a breaking open of a year. I mean, I learned a lot about myself, a lot about, you know, my partner, like just a lot of learning, a lot of sitting and a lot of soaking, which are kind of my favorite things to do. So I'm very thankful for this last year, as hard as it was in seasons. I don't think we will be granted another opportunity such as this, you know, and I think it's worth taking advantage of for various reasons. And so, yeah, it was a very gut opening year in the best of ways.
Yeah, that's a really good way to put it. I, you know, obviously I'm a very white woman from half of the time in like Santa Monica, California. So I felt the same way. I was like, 2020 is a year I'm going to listen, which I do like, I think for me, like one of my superpowers has always been that like, I am a good listener and I am like a person who really does want to understand people from any walks of life. Like I'm never going to be the person that's like, oh, you don't think what I think? Oh, well then forget you. Like that's never, ever going to be me. But I agree with you. I think in 2020, I listened so much more and I, you know, I really gravitated towards like Black voices like yours. And then I have a friend, Tiana, who I really like gravitated toward because I'm like, here are people that have had such strong, powerful voices for so long. And to watch you go through last year, and I was like, wow, okay, okay. So if there's grace from people like Arielle, then there can be grace in a lot of places. And I commend you for your grace, but I also commend you for like raw. That's like, you were so raw. And it was really cool to watch because I think that a lot of people they forget how painful some of the events of 2020 were for like the Black community, right?
Yeah. Painful, disorienting. I mean, like, yeah, it was the most raw and exposing year for many reasons. And, you know, my husband, he says 2020 and the pandemic and all of that, he was like, we're in different boats, but we're in the same storm. You know, like there's that phrase of like, well, we're all in the same boat. And he was like, no, we're not. We're all in the same storm, but we're in varying different boats. So everyone's sense of loss and grief, though a collective one, has different experiences tucked in. And I think the same within, you know, the Black community. And that has always been apparent, but thank God for 2020 that it became like the veil torn, you know, like it became more exposed and there's no more ignoring it at that point. There's no more not acknowledging it. So finally this individual grievance in this individual, but yet collective, you know, as a whole of a community, we felt like we were carrying that ourselves. And now more voices, more narratives are in the conversation, and it's become what it's always been, is a collective grief and a collective heartbreak and a collective injustice, and really bringing and shedding light to that, I think, is what 2020 did. It showed all the things in the soil. This has to go, this has to go, this has to go in order for us to thrive here, in order for us to grow here. These are the things that must be uprooted from our soil as a system. Mm-hmm.
Right. I think one of the things that like really stuck out to me was every person on this planet, and there's nobody on this planet, I don't believe, is not going to tell you that like they want to feel loved. They want to feel equal. They want to feel like they have the same opportunities as someone else. They want to feel like they can give love freely to whoever they choose. And there's nobody that's going to disagree with that, I think. I mean, just from like personal values. But I think what 2020 did is it kind of showed, like you said, how different boats we're in. Some people are in full-on yachts, and some people are in a wooden boat with a hole with no paddle. And if we're all in the same storm, then how do we get everybody? And I'm not saying everybody's going to be on a yacht, but like, how do we get everybody to a place where they feel like they can weather the storm?
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, I don't know. I'm kind of excited because I think I agree with you. It uncovered a lot of things. And now we can kind of move towards like a collective enlightenment, and like, how do we move forward in a way that is without hate, you know, and from both sides, if we're talking sides, which like, I don't ever like to talk sides because I'm just not that person, but I'm like, from both sides, how do we move forward in this collective consciousness that love and light and unity can rule if we're willing to like do the work to get there, you know, and uncover some of these systems that have been ingrained into us so deeply, you know?
So deeply. Yeah. Yeah, that's good.
So right now, as you sit here, like, what do you feel is your definition of living an acoustic life?
I think I come back to that word raw. Like, I think acoustic versions of things are my favorite versions of things. Like, I love when an artist takes an album that they've done with all the music and all the edge and the producing, and then they just sit in a room with their guitar or their piano or their voice, and they just like go at it. Like, as an Enneagram 4, as a feeler, like that is my love language right there. Like, just strip down and give me the bareness of you, not the bare minimum, because there's so much fullness there, but just the bareness of what you have to offer. And I love, those are my favorite versions of things, is the most simple and the most genuine. And so I think the most acoustic version of me is the most raw version of me, where it is a stripped down. There are no masks, there's no hiding, there's no, none of that. It's just me, my heart as my guitar, you know, and my voice, and that's it. And in a room where, you know, the sound bounces off the walls. Like, I think that is the beauty of relationships, you know, when we get to see those raw pieces of each other, and the beauty that, you know, is life in itself. And most of what I do is very vulnerable and very open, but there's an art to being vulnerable without being just straight up bare and exposing. You know, there has to be a balance in order to, I like to say, protect my personhood and protect, you know, what I love and what I cherish, but there's a balance to that. And so I think in those moments where I don't even have to be strategic in my vulnerability, you know, are the parts of me that feel just so acoustic, just so raw, just voice and heart. And that's it. And I think those are the moments I feel also the most alive. Yeah.
I love that. I love what you said about not the bare minimum, because I think sometimes we think that like, if we strip ourselves down, or if we, you know, if we do take away some of those layers, that we're not like giving enough.
Right.
But actually, like, I think that's when people, I feel, are giving their most, because they're not relying on those other things. They're just them. And it's like, it makes think of, you know, the artist Jessie J.
Yes. Love her.
Her voice is so underrated. I mean, one of the most underrated voices ever. But she did this acoustic version of Who You Are. And it was it was acoustic with the piano, and her voice cracks in it. I don't know if you've heard it. Like, her voice cracks in it. And she got like reamed for that. That, like, how would you like put that out if your voice cracks? And like, I just remember she did this interview about it, and she was like, that's me. Like, my voice cracks sometimes, but it doesn't mean that I'm any less myself. It doesn't mean that I'm any less passionate. And I was like, oh, yes.
And then it's like, why do we not automatically give that permission to people? Because the other end of it is like, well, I'm not perfect. You can't hold me to a standard of being perfect. And I'm like, yeah, but we just do that to other people. Like, there's no, where is the space for grace, you know? And why is it only one-sided? And so really sitting in that space too, of just like, why would you want to uphold a standard of other people that you would want bended for yourself, you know, or adjusted for yourself? Like, I want to hear her voice crack. That makes her more human versus a woman who just always hits every note and it's perfect and it's fine. We love her for it, but like, that's it, you know? Yeah.
I just like get so fired up when people get like really raw, and I'm like, oh, that's kind of like messy. Like, you just got messy. And I'm not just talking about artists. I'm talking about like anybody like who starts a business, who works on a goal, who like starts a relationship. It's like when it gets messy and it's honest, like, oh, it lights me up. And that's like something I'm working on right now. Just like still grieving my dad, you know, losing my dad. Like, especially when you have an online presence, you know, there's this weird like bubble that you feel like, oh my gosh, if I'm like sad, then I'm not gonna, but like, you have to get over that. You have to drop that, because honestly, it's the most beautiful part of us, that like soul cracking, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the most human parts of us too, you know, like, let's be reminded that is what it means to be human. And when we don't allow the space or grace for ourselves to tap into that or for other people, then we're ultimately saying, you can't be human right now. And that is wild.
Like, have you ever felt like that in your life? Do you have like a moment you remember where you kind of remember feeling like, I'm not being true to myself right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I had a season where not everyone wanted me to marry John, and it was really hard to differentiate, well, do I people please here? Do I show up how I've always shown up, which is not rocking the boat, not making people uncomfortable? Or do I trust that I love this man and that I'm willing to risk whatever it takes to pursue a life with him? And that was like the general paradigm of where I sat on the both ends. But in between, it was like this distrusting of myself, you know, this distrusting of my voice, this distrusting of the decisions I could and could not make. And I had to come back to that trusting and knowing, you know, within myself, whereas I'd heard it so much from other places and other things. And so that was, yeah, that was the season where I was just like, I feel insane. Like, I did. I felt crazy, and I didn't know what I was thinking versus what were the voices just now imprinted in my head, which what fears were mine, what fears weren't mine, and really had to like sit and silence everything that wasn't me, which took a long time. And it still is something I have to like check myself on, you know? And so that was definitely that season where I was just like, who am I again? And how do I become her again? Or for the first time.
Yeah. And then tell me about like the descriptive words, like when you did realize like, I'm doing the right thing. Like, this is what I want. This is who I love. It doesn't matter what other people feel about it. Like, what is that? Because that's a liberating feeling, like to finally know, like to know truly that you're on the right. Like, what was that moment like for you?
I mean, it was so freeing. And it was like a freeing and a goodness, a richness that was like, is this allowed? Like, once I actually allowed myself to embrace it and to step fully into it and was like, kind of like looking over my shoulder, like, are people going to fright me? Are people going to try to bring me back? Like, what's going to happen? Once I was in it and I was like, life can be this good. Like, I can be this free and aware of myself and in tune with everything around me. Like, this is not real life. You know, like, it was very out of body. It was very rich. It was a very rich season of just like, this is so good. And I talked to Britt about it, you know, often, because it was like, can I have this, you know, like, can I have this much goodness in life? Is this allowed, you know? And really having to rework that deficit mindset that often, you know, humility and the humility teachings bring with you sometimes. And yeah, it was just like this really beautiful space of like, this is so good and it's mine. And I can claim that it's mine. I can receive that it's mine and that it's for me. Yeah.
I was going to ask you if you had confided in Beans at all through that process.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Always. I confided in her that whole year. I was just like, help. Or I'd text her or they were still here and I'd go over just like bawling. And yeah, she was the best. She was one of the best resources during that time. Yeah.
We're talking about our mutual friend. Her name's Britt Barron. We call her Beans. She actually is going to be a guest on this podcast as well. And her wife, Sammy, is who I confided in when Breezy and I were getting together. I called her and I said, I am going through so much right now, like in my head, like I just got out of a relationship with my son's dad, who I thought I was going to be with forever. And like, this is very scary. And it wasn't like, the scary part wasn't that I was like, falling in love with a woman. Like, that was not scary to me. What was scary to me is that I was like potentially like uprooting my life to like switch directions again. And when I thought that I had like found the ground, and then I was like, oh no, Danielle's going to hit him with a plot twist again. Here it comes. Those two, man, Sammy and Britt, like they are so good for that.
They are like the little nuggets of resources just always. Yeah.
And they just listen and they don't even like necessarily give advice. They like ask questions and then you go, okay, great. So I just answered. Okay.
Got it. Cool. Great chat. Have a great day.
They're like, great. Glad I could help. You're like, same.
Yes. Oh, they're the best. Yes.
Okay. So if somebody is absolutely listening to this right now and they are saying to themselves, like, okay, but like I'm in a season where I feel like I'm going crazy and I feel like I'm going insane. What do you say to that person that is in those shoes? Everyone's been in, but you've been in.
Yeah, we've all been in it. And I think in those, I've been like really big on reframing lately. So it's like, what is the feeling crazy even mean? You know, like what does that even look like? Do you feel as though you are going a path that's uncharted and it doesn't make sense to other people? You know, like, do you feel as though you are, you know, breaking barriers and breaking ceilings that haven't been broken before? And that's really unknown territory. You know, like, what is crazy even? What does that even mean? You know, what is actually happening? And so the reframing and then coming to terms with what the reframed situation is actually at that point. It's like, oh, no, there's a lot of fear here because I don't have examples of what this is, because this, I have not seen this be done before, which means you are then in that space. You are the path maker. You are the ceiling, the glass ceiling breaker. You are the spearhead and others will come thereafter, but you are the example. And my editor said this to me. She was like, really wanting me to pull out a little bit more vulnerability. And I didn't want to. I was like very afraid to, because I didn't want to step on toes. I didn't want to bring up things that were uncomfortable. And she was like, I know what I'm asking you is really terrifying. Like, I don't fully know if I would do it. She was like, but if someone doesn't go scared first, then who goes? And sometimes, you know, in that feeling of crazy, it's because we're the ones called to go scared first. And that is terrifying. And so trusting yourself in that process, trusting that it may not make sense, it may not look like everyone else's story, but it doesn't mean it's not any less meant for you. It doesn't mean it's not any less meant for your story. And yeah, and trusting yourself. And then you get to the other end of whatever that is, and you're like, oh my goodness, I'm so glad, you know, I went that route, because then you're not left with the what if. You're left with the, this is what happened and here's how I handled it. Here's how I conquered it. Here's how I got to the other end.
Yes, 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 yes. It's like you got to just know that it's not always going to be this way. You are not always going to feel the way you feel. Mm-hmm. And you just got to trust. Like it is. It's a trust about yourself. Like I tell people all the time, I go, you got to trust yourself as much as the people who love you most in your life trust you. Like you have to.
Yeah.
Because there are people that will trust you with literally their life. You know, like I have moments where I go, I need to trust myself in this moment the same way that my son trusts me. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
What are you most proud of right now in this moment in your life? What are you most proud of?
Yeah, I think I'm most proud of my mind in this season of just like how it thinks and how it produces content, how it creates, how, you know, it shows up. I've been trying to be more intentional with just like consistent journaling and reading, and that time has been so precious, and I feel very content and aware of like what I've learned in this season so far. And yeah, just the ability to create words and, like I said earlier, work on my book and just that whole process. And so I think I'm just very grateful for my mind and what it holds.
I love that. Okay, so I'm going to play a game with you. I don't know if you've heard any of my episodes so far, but we end with a game. And then I'm going to have you tell everybody where they can find you, listen to you, hear you, see you, like all the things. But first, we're going to play a game. This game is quick fire questions. So I ask you a series of questions that I'm literally going to like kind of make up on the spot. And you have 1 minute to get as many of them in as possible.
Okay. Ooh, fun. Okay. Great.
Wait, when's your birthday?
October 1st.
Oh, you're a Libra, so this is not going to be the best game you've ever played. Okay, we're ready.
Okay. Yep, here we go. Okay.
Deciding quickly, not your strong point. Okay, here we go. Okay, are you ready? 1 minute. Mm-hmm. When you were a child, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A teacher, a superstar, and a barista.
Love it. Camping or glamping?
Glamping.
Do you fall in love easily?
Yes, with everything.
Favorite cereal?
Raisin Bran Crunch with extra crunch.
Most nostalgic childhood toy?
I was really obsessed with Barney for a long time. So I had this like giant size Barney that was like my size. And I carried around with me like everywhere.
I love that. Spicy or sweet?
Sweet.
Favorite color?
Currently teal.
Favorite article of clothing you own?
I've worn this cardigan for the past 3 days, so we'll say this one.
Favorite shoes you own?
My favorite shoes I own. I hate shoes. So anything that's a slip-on is my favorite.
And last question, your most perfect date?
Most perfect date involves beach, charcuterie, and a sunset. It doesn't matter where, what, in what capacity, just those three things.
Yes, beach and charcuterie. Okay.
Yes.
You actually did really well. That was really good.
I love questions. I don't know if that's a Libra thing. Like, I don't like competition. I don't like like games where I'm like have to lose, but I do love questions. So
yeah. My son's dad is a Libra, and he, like, that's like always been one of the ways that we communicate the best, is because like we can engage in like question conversations. So yeah, it's a Libra thing for sure.
Yes. It's a fun one. Yeah.
Listen, my friend, you are such a dream. And it was like really good to see your face because I feel like I haven't seen anybody. Like I saw you at that event downtown, which was awesome. But it's just, thank you so much for coming on. I know like you have so much going on, and to take time for me, I just think that's such a gift. So thank you.
Thank you.
I would love for you to just tell everybody, like, where can they listen to you? Where can they find you? What's like Instagram, Spotify, like tell us everywhere. Anybody can hear Ariel Astoria.
all of those above. So you can just search my name, Arielle Estoria, ArielleEstoria. That's .com. iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, if you're underground like that. I'm also on Twitter and Instagram. And yeah, on my .com, you can find my books and other links to things as well, where you can either buy some merch or listen to some music or buy a book.
We have your book, your poetry book. I adore it. I adore it. I adore you. Thank you so much. And we'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
Love you.
Love you.
If you haven't heard of Arielle Estoria, I highly, highly recommend that you go to her website and check out all the things that she's doing. ArielleEstoria.com. You can see, as she said, you can listen to her on iTunes, on Spotify, on SoundCloud. You can read her poetry. You can see what she's up to. She's a really dreamy human being and just so full of light and love. And I hope that that interview gave you some perspective if you are in a similar season to the ones we were talking about in the episode. But go check her out. Listen to her poetry. It will read her poetry, but listen to her poetry, because I find that when you hear her recite her own poetry via iTunes or SoundCloud or wherever you find it, it does add a certain like heart feel for you. And it kind of opens up those heart chakras and gets you really like in your feels, which is always a good thing. So go check her out. She's amazing. If you know me, which if you're listening to this, maybe you know me, but if you follow me on Instagram, you know my obsession with hats. I am such a hat fanatic, and I am not specific to one type of hat, y'all. I will wear any hat. It could be a beanie. It could be a bucket hat. It could be a fedora. It could be like a sailor hat. It could be a lot of different kind of hats, but I am obsessed. And Peter Grimm Hats has been my new go-to. They are a small business. They are just getting started, and they are incredible. Their hats are such good quality. They ship fast. The customer service is unreal. And if that is important to you, go give them a shot. If you go over to petergrimm.com, you can use my code Danielle M, as in McCleary, Danielle M, for 20% off. So go get yourself a hat. Spring is coming. Festival season's coming. We love a hat. Next week, my friend Brian Torreta is on the podcast. He is the founder of Be Free Stories, which we will talk all about. He is so full of life. He has been on a journey to where he is now, and I am so excited for you to hear him. If you are loving this podcast, which I really, really hope you are, we are loving creating it for you. Go check us out on anywhere that you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe. Give us a rating. Give us a review. Tell us what you're loving and share it. Share it with your friends. Share it on your social media. You can always, always, always find me at Danielle_onthedaily. Slide into my DMs. Tell me what you want more of. Tell me who you want to hear from. You can find the podcast at On The Daily Pod. You can slide into that DM as well. I see it all. We see it all. And we are just really enjoying this ride and love hearing from you. So thank you for the love. Thank you for the support. And we will see you soon.